Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. What a joy it is to be with you today. I come to you not as a teacher, nor as a pastor or a preacher. But if there be one title that I would carry, it's that of a witness, being profoundly deaf since the age of 18 months. I have no sound, but my eyes have been given to me to behold the majestic splendor of his beauty and to be able to communicate with my brethren. As it was said in the book of Acts 9:17, the Lord Jesus has sent me that you may receive sight. Have you taken a good hard look at where we are today in our world, in our country, and in our church? You know, just watching as far as all the debates and all the news, as far as the upcoming election, I can't remember ever seeing such turmoil, such strife, backbiting. I've seen it basically in our youth today. We're basically, I think what it is we've lost respect. We've lost respect for each other. Why? Because we've lost respect for God. This morning, I want to talk about the great I am. And I'm not talking about the great I am. I'm talking about the great I am. The we, the us, the me, that must have what we want today, or we get extremely upset. I've been fortunate. Since the day that I left Columbia, 30 years ago, I sat in the front row so I would be able to read the lips. 30 years ago, I came to this campus not to be a missionary, not to study the Bible, not to be a pastor or a preacher, but I came to this campus for one reason only, to find God, to make him confess he made a mistake. He made a mistake when he made me deaf. I left the FBI as a secret weapon. With the glamour days of the FBI, I resigned to find God to make him confess he made a mistake, and he led me to Columbia. And he was waiting for me here. And it was the greatest wrestle of all time, that I have to say, in the first round, he knocked me out flat, where I was on my face before him crying out for mercy. And my life hasn't been the same since then. And with that transformation, knowing what I once was and what I was becoming, I only had one desire and one desire only, to go forth to every nation, to every generation, to proclaim the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And what is the truth? The great I am, me, is absolutely nothing. Do you realize I cannot even draw my very breath of my own accord? can't breathe on my own. How on earth am I capable of making any decision on my own? I can't do it. Oh, yes, so many times I have, so many times I've tried. And guess what? Every time I made that decision, it was of confusion, of turmoil, of strife. There was no peace. As I began to walk with my Lord, that I shared with him that day, if you have the path of silence for the remainder of my life, I can't do it. I can't tolerate it. I'm too alienated. I'm too lonely. You must live in me. And you must do it. And slowly but surely, as I drew closer to him, he allowed me to hear that still, small voice of God that would direct my path. It was allowing him to live in me, to control me, that I would lay down my life and die, that only then would I begin to live. We talk about that perfect peace that surpasses all understanding when we walk with God. You've experienced, or at least I pray that you have, you know what I'm talking about. But how do we know when we're out of God's presence and we're not walking with him? Oh, it's so easy. It is so easy. The day you get upset about any small little thing, you have stepped out of the presence of God. And why do you get upset? Well, because I wanted it this way. Oh, I want. Well, I thought it was going to happen this way. Oh, I thought. Every time your nose gets out of joint, every time you get upset, you have left the presence of God and you have just become the great I am. I want, I need, I thought. The great I am. If you always go back to that one single letter, the I, you have left the presence of God. The first command, thou shalt love no other God before me. You love yourself. You love yourself enough that you will get upset if you don't have it your own way and you get what you want. You'll have it. And guess what? Two gods cannot live together. There's only one God. So pagan. I have been blessed with so many sons as I walked this earthly tribe. No, I've never been married. I've never given birth to any children. But along the journey of the 30 years as I have traveled, I have met up with many men that are pastors, that I pray for every day, that I encourage with the word, that we email every day and often. And basically, I'll throw out something as a devotional. Just 2 days ago, my one son in Vermont wrote back to me and said, oh, Mom, that was so profound, but how do we get more of the power of the Spirit of God within us? How do we get more of the power of the Spirit of God? And I said, son, I have some disturbing news for you. There's no way you can get more power of God. There's no way you can get more love of God. there's no way you get more of the grace of God. Because God's power, God's love is always the same. It never changes. There's never more, there's never less. You either have it or you don't. Do you have the power of God within you? Do you? Does your life, is it a reflection as Moses? Is your life have the power of the disciples? We're no different than those that went before us, that sought God, that knew God, that listened to God. He indwells within us. You know this stuff. The day that you became to the Lord, you surrendered your all. He came into you. You were baptized by the Holy Spirit with his power. It's in you. It indwells in you. The question is, do you live it? Do you use it? Or are you still so caught up with the great I am, what I want, what I need, what I desire, that it's gone, that you squash it, that you don't experience it? Last night, I watched half of the game. I love sports. In my prime time, I was an athlete, a champion skater. I know what it is to spend hours and hours practicing the agony of defeat, the joy of triumph. I know it. So any sport, I'm in tune to it. But I also realize that every single trophy that I ever placed on my mantle collects dust. And it's only for that brief moment of time that it lasts. Last night, that arc of the ball for that final three-pointer that dropped in was a historic amount, as they say. I can guarantee you in 5 years, nobody will even remember who dropped that ball. Life and everything that's in accord to it can take us away from the understanding and the knowledge of God. Have you ever heard that voice? Have you ever heard that silent voice that says, no, don't go that way? Or that voice that says, pray for Paul, pray for Paul. That happened to me here on this campus shortly after my conversion. For 2 weeks, and I didn't even know. I'm profoundly deaf, and yet the Spirit inside prayed for Paul, prayed for Paul, day in and day out while I was in the classroom. And I was obedient. The only Paul that I really knew was my brother. He was an internationally renowned taxidermist that traveled the world. I prayed for him. After 2 weeks, I didn't hear that voice inside of me to say, pray for Paul. But shortly after, I got a letter from my father saying, Paul's out in the bush in Africa and waiting for the seaplane to come in to pick him up. And he was greatly disturbed because when the plane came in, they put all the hides on the plane. And the guy looked at my brother and said, I can't take you out. I'm too heavy. There's no way I can take you out. And my brother raised his fist and basically cursed at the man because he was being left behind. Only to hear the story that as my brother watched that plane leave, he saw the plane climb and take a nosedive and crash and burst into flames. And I am convinced, and I will always know, that when I first came to the Lord and he cried in me, pray for Paul, pray for Paul, it was for that very moment because my brother did not know the Lord. Oh, you were obedient to that voice. And yet I realize that with technology today, you have your cell phone 24/7. And if you're not talking, You're texting. I mean, you're even texting when you're walking down the street where they're going to have laws now that you can't text or walk because it's hazardous to your home. When, my friends, when in a given moment of a given day have you truly escaped to the silence that come before the great I am, the God Almighty, that gives you your very breath, that directs your path, that will give you that peace that surpasses all understanding, that will give you a joy that no man, that nothing can take. I pray today that when you leave here, if there's a moment in time when you start getting upset and you get that pit in your stomach and your nose start getting out of joint because you're upset because somebody didn't do it the way you wanted it to be done, you will run to the Lord. You will seek forgiveness. You will cry out, Lord, you know my ways. You know what is best for me. Because every single person that comes into our lives, every divine appointment is from God for one reason and one reason only, to teach us, to bring us closer to Him. It's not about us. It's about Him for His glory. Matthew 16:26. What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your soul? I've seen the world. The Lord has allowed me to be a witness to it. I've been with the politicians in Washington. I know what they're like. The FBI days took me into many doors in D.C. that most people couldn't even imagine. He's taken me to Hollywood, where Hollywood thought that it was pretty interesting that a deaf woman would work for the FBI and become their secret weapon, that they would do a TV series based on my life. Yes, I have sat in the same meal with Steve Spielberg and Mel Gibson. Yes, I have been filmed with Billy Ray Cyrus. I know Hollywood well. And I can tell you, my friend, and it all starts with my TV show. Hollywood is a lie. It's all make-believe. When the show was filmed, I saw the very first episode, and I shook my head, and I cried. I said, oh, Lord, this isn't me. This isn't me. This isn't real. And as a result, I never watched another episode of that show. It's all make-believe. What's real is God, the one true living God. And if you put your hope and your time and the energy into basketball or soccer or field hockey or skating, it's fun for the moment, but don't get used to it because it doesn't last. As my son asked, Mom, how can I get more of the power of the Spirit of God? I said, you must die. You must die. And you know something? We as Christians who try to bring new believers into our faith, we tell them a lie. We tell them it's the easiest thing that they can ever do is to accept the faith. That's a lie. It is the most difficult thing to become and to live the life of a Christian. Why? Because the great I am, the me, the I, must die. Only then will God indwell and live freely within us. Only then will we experience the fulfillment of his glory and the power of his resurrection. Only then will we truly have the peace that surpasses all understanding, and our nose will never go out of joint again. My prayer for you today, my friends, is that you will die. That you will simply die. That you may live and experience the fulfillment of his glory. That's the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.